Good morning, church. I don't know, this has been a crazy week for me. A crazy week, kind of let a lot of things spin around in my head. And I just this morning, I just really feel the Holy Spirit in this place. I do feel that often. But you ever feel just kind of tears welling up inside of you and there's really nothing to be, maybe it's just me. But I just have felt emotional this morning, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit. I'm seeing all the children praying over Clay and Danny. Just God is good, I don't know about you. I just need him all the time. Want to welcome you to our church this morning. Glad that you are here. If you are visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to see that and fill that out and let us know that you were here, not required to do that by any means. If you want to fly under the radar, that's okay. But we would love to know that you're here and who you are. There's a spot on there you can put your email address and check the little box. If you'd like to be added to our email list, you can leave that in your seat when you're through. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Now, this letter by most scholars believe this to be attributed to the Apostle Paul, written to the church in Ephesus. And so in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we do invite you. You are welcome, God. We know that that you always want to teach us. You're always speaking to us. So we pray now that you would speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there a word that kind of seems to dominate this passage today? Just one word? Is there something that jumps out at you? So you want to say it? One. So we continue the sermon series today. The sermon series is one, and today's message is one God and Father of all. One God and Father of all. You know, we live in a time when we are more and more. First of all, it's been several months ago, I preached a sermon series called The Rise of the Nuns. You know, not nuns with the little black suits and all that, you know, but the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, nuns, people who, when they fill out surveys and it comes to religious affiliation, they check none. We're seeing that segment of our population rise significantly. And what I'm seeing beyond that is what I call a cafeteria Christianity, a cafeteria religious system, where we pluck and we choose, and the things that we're comfortable with and the things that kind of fit us, and we piece our theology together. I want to throw up a little chart here. I actually found this. Go ahead and throw that up there, Alan. The 2012 Pew Research Center did this did a survey of major religions in our nation, Christianity is still slightly number one. This is actually not in the U.S. This is worldwide. 31.5% of the population in the world would confess to be Christians, and 23.2% Muslims. And you can see there, and that unaffiliated is the nuns that I was talking about, where they just you can probably combine two or three of those people that really aren't sure, or they really just kind of go, I really just don't have any use for it. But you can see there the way that's broken down. How many of you have heard this question? I'm looking for an answer to this. How many of you have heard a question or a statement, more something along these lines? Whether we call him God or Allah, it's all the same God. You ever heard that? I was at Duke Divinity School a few years ago, and heard that from one of the students. We were talking during a break, and there were several of us standing around, and something got brought up about the Muslim faith and all, and one of the students said, "Well, it's all the same God." We're going to talk today about that. It's not, friends in Christ. We do not worship the same God. And I'm not, this is not to be mean to Muslim sermon. This is just, we need to understand what we believe, what we profess as Christians. We need to understand that what separates us in our belief system. Many of you, if you've been here for a few years, you've heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again, which, you know, I've got a little of my daddy in me, so I'm going to tell it again. But it's when I was first making the transition from the computer world to the ministry back in 2000, my brother was killed in a pipeline blast in September of 2000. And just a few months after that, I was already making the transition into ministry, but I had not gotten on with the church yet. And I really felt the Lord was saying that I want you to just, for lack of a better term, just to be an evangelist until I open a door for you. And so I got flyers out to everybody that I ever church in West Texas that I could get an address for. And I just sent out and said, "Hey, I'll come and talk to anybody that'll listen about the goodness of Christ." And so I, for probably 6 months or so, I went all over this region. I mean, I did a lot of traveling and just sharing the goodness of Christ. I got a call one evening at home, and this lady said, "Hey, I'm with a particular church here in town. We'd like for you to come and speak." And I said, "What church is it?" And she told me the name of the church, which I won't get into that. But I was not familiar with this type of church, this particular church. And I said, "Well, I'm not familiar. Can you tell me a little bit about your church?" And she said, "Well, we're a Bible-believing church." And I just, right then, I was like, "I'm good. That's good. Bible-believing church." So, and she kind of went on a little bit longer, and I said, "Sure, I'll come and share." When I got over there, they were very nice. They greeted me at the door, and this man handed me their bulletin for the day, and on the very front of it, it had a deal, "Statement of Being," B-E-I-N-G, Statement of Being. I was like, "Statement of Being, what is that?" So I read it, and I was like, "Oh, my goodness, what have I gotten myself into?" Because, I mean, it's just like weird stuff to me. It was weird stuff. So I went back to him and I said, I showed him the bulletin and I said, "I was reading your statement of being." I said, "I don't know if you want me to share. I don't want to be rude to your congregation. I don't want to say something that offends someone or whatever." I'll never forget his response to me. Here's what he said. He said, "Don't worry about a thing. No matter," listen to this, listen to the depth of this statement, "no matter what you tell us, it will be fine." Because we believe that we're all on our own journey, and we're, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and somebody else's truth is their truth. And so nothing you tell us will offend us. And I went, "Okay." And I went to the only place I knew where I could get away. It was the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, and I'm like, "Lord, what do I do?" And I just really felt the Spirit impress upon me, just tell them the truth. Just tell them the truth. So I preached. And I mean, that was probably the hardest core gospel message that I ever preached. I mean, I'm just like, without Jesus, we are lost. And I mean, Jesus, I believe, you know, I don't know what you believe, but let me just tell you what God's word said. Man, I'm just laying out the gospel. And I'm thinking, I hope they don't have any rocks, you know, or anything. And you know, when I finished, they were the nicest people I've ever met in my life, man. They're just like, oh, thank you for coming, and we're just so happy. And I'm no kidding. You're going to think I'm making this up. We circled up, and it wasn't Kumbaya, but it was something like Kumbaya we sang at the end. I don't remember the name of the song, but, I mean, we circled up, and there was 50 or so people there, and we're kind of swaying. I thought it was a Pepsi commercial for a minute, but I wasn't sure. But anyway, do we understand that statement? No matter what you tell us, it'll be fine. And I got to thinking about that. It's like I could have said, unless you're at least 6 feet tall and bald-headed, I don't know, you know anybody that fits that description? Walt, well, I wasn't talking about you, brother. Unless you're at least 6 feet tall and bald-headed, you're going to hell. I could have told him that and it would have been fine. I could have said, unless you have brown socks on right now, today, you're going to hell. And it would have been fine. There is truth. There is truth. And we are in a culture, friends in Christ, we are in a culture that we just make it up as we go. God's word says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to destruction. You know, our intellect, we trust in our intellect and polls and so on and so forth. You know, that word one, I'm going to be preaching for a few weeks. Last week it was, anybody remember? There is one book. There is one book. If we haven't made that determination in our own mind, our own heart, if we haven't determined that either God has spoken or he hadn't, you've got to come to that conclusion. Either God has spoken or he has not. Now, if he has, then what has he said to us? How do we live our lives? What's right? What's wrong? What's truth? Where do we get hope? If he's spoken, that's all in here. If he hasn't spoken, if this is not the word of God, then we do what our culture is doing. We make it up as we go. And I got to tell you, it's a mess. It's a mess when that happens. But this word one, by definition, you think about one. Do you remember the movie City Slickers? Anybody remember? I know this is some of you young folks probably is probably in the, might have been the 80s, 90s maybe. City Slickers, this guy, you know, he's Billy Crystal. He's going on this cattle drive, and he's got Curly, the old cowboy, and they're riding along one day, and Curly says, you know what the secret of life is? Everybody remember this scene. You know what the secret of life is? And Billy Crystal, he's in that middle-age crisis, you know, and he's desperately searching for meaning. He's like, no, what is it? And Curly holds up finger, this right here. And Chris was like, what? What is that? He said, one thing. And so he's waiting for the answer, and Curly says, that's what you got to figure out yourself. We know that scene. That is our culture. This can be a gazillion different things to different people. It's like the one thing, the secret of life. And we just kind of make it up, and we pull, in this smorgasbord of theology. But the word one seems to indicate, it seems to indicate that there is a way and there is not the way. I mean, when somebody says, like when you know, you ever been around those parents that'll say, if you do that one more time, and, you know, like 10 times later, they're still saying, if you do that one more time. I knew what that meant when I was growing up. If my dad said, you do that one more time, son, it's not going to end up good. I kind of use that line with my girls. I never had to really discipline the girls. I just kind of look at them and go, you know, if you keep doing that, it's not going to end up good. You won't like the results of that. So they'd stop. One seems to be that there is a way. One, he speaks in this passage of that there's one body, there's one spirit. There's not 10 spirits. There's one spirit, and that's big S. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. There's one hope. There's not a whole lot of hopes out there. There's not multiple hopes. Our hope is, somebody say his name. Our hope is Jesus. Like Clay was saying, with that guy that he knew, is like, the answer is always Jesus. It always is. So there's not multiple hopes out there. There's one. There's not multiple lords out there. There's one. There's not multiple faiths out there. There's one. There's not multiple baptisms. It's not like, well, you know, First Baptist downtown has a different baptism there. No, they don't. It's one baptism. We're baptized into the body of Christ. One God, Father of all. So let's kind of dig down just a little bit deeper in this passage today. Scripture tells us, church. Now, again, if you haven't made up your mind about this, then everything I'm about to tell you, this whole rest of this sermon, is really worthless to you. Because I'm trying to preach to you what God's Word says. So we've got to make up our mind there. Scripture tells us there's one God. There's one God. There's not multiple gods with different names and so on and so forth. I could quote you dozens of scriptures that speak of this, but here's just four of them I think are listed there in your handout. The passage we just read today, there's one God and Father of all. In the beginning, God. I love that. Those first four words in the Bible, it starts out. You know, we like to keep going reading that and all, but stop right there. In the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, a God, one God, some God. In the beginning, God. And everything else came out of that. In the beginning, God. The greatest commandment that we understand to be love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That we understand that to be the great commandment. Out of Deuteronomy 6:4. Here it's before that. Is before the great commandment is listed, it starts out by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." One God. Romans 3 says there is only one God. So we're going to dig down a little bit deeper into that in just a moment, but we need to understand that this is not arrogance. We'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about why this is not arrogance. It's not arrogance to say, I've got the way and you don't, somebody who's outside of Christ. Here's what it is. It's love. It's not arrogance. It's love. If we, church, or shake your head if you're listening to me, because this is important right here. If we believe that we are sinners, lost in need of a Savior. If we believe that, if we believe that's our condition outside of Christ, and we believe that Christ came to pay that debt that we owed, this is the gospel. If we believe the gospel, if we believe that, and we believe that we are lost in our sins outside of Christ, so we must have Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we believe that, and we don't share it. What is that? I mean, that's not arrogance to share that. It's like, I got it all figured out. I'm right and you're wrong. And let me tell you how I'm right. That's not what it is. It's like, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was a mess. And he set me free. The peace that passes understanding came upon me because of the peace I have from Christ. That is love. To share that message. That's not arrogance. There is one God. Secondly, Scripture tells us there is one God. And listen, I love this, the way that verse 6 says it. Of all, over all, through all, and in all. I think that covers it, church. I don't know why that screen keeps doing that, making those bigger. Alan, I'll have to check that. But anyway, the screen's not right. But of all, over all, through all, and in all. That covers it, doesn't it? I mean, just about anything that we face, we understand that because there's one God, and because he's of all, and he's over all, and he's through all, and he's in all, he's got us covered, no matter what we face. Now, you can look at this kind of, it's almost like that, He's speaking of the Trinity, we understand that as Christians, and our infinite minds can't fully grasp the Trinity. But we understand that God manifests himself through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we just look at these terms that we just looked at. God is over all as the Father. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's through all by Jesus. In John chapter 1, it speaks, the Greek word is logos, and which means the word, the God himself, the logos, became flesh in the person of Jesus. So he's through all. God's love, his peace, his truth, his salvation, etc., came through Jesus Christ. He's in all. But what does it say about the Holy Spirit? That he not only will be with us, that he doesn't just like hang out in the room with us, he will dwell, what? In us. God himself, through his Holy Spirit, will be in us. So there it is again. God is, the one God is of all, he's over all, he's through all, and he's in all. God is God. Now, this was the last thing that it says is of all in the verse 6. Now, of all, this was radical stuff. And when the Bible was written, and I'm going to look at Romans 3. I think it's listed there in your handout. Romans 3:29. Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, "Is God the God of the Jews only?" Now you got to remember, in Israel, the Jewish people, God had made covenant with the Jews, and the Gentiles were unclean. I mean, they were, you know, over there. They were not to even be associated with, and certainly were not to be intermarried with, and all. And that had happened some over the centuries. But the Jews were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles were the rest, the heathens, the lost. So Paul is saying radical things here. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? That right there would have been enough to get him stoned, just to say that. Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, there isn't a God of the Jews and a God of the Gentiles. There's not a God of the Methodists and a God of the Baptists. There's not a God of the Methodists and a God of the lost outside of Christ's people. There's one God. And since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Now, so what he's saying is that we are justified, which that word justified means to be made clean, to be made whole, holy, as if there was this condition of sin is washed away from us. And so he's saying that because there's one God, and because he's the God of the Jews and the Gentiles, the circumcised, meaning the Jews, are justified by faith, and the uncircumcised, meaning the Gentiles, are justified by the same faith. Now, so we need to understand, I don't know why, but our churches, I got this wrong for 30 years. Being raised in the church all the time. Our good works, and I'm going to quote a great theologian, so be ready, Larry the Cable Guy. All right, are you ready? Our good works don't get her done. Are you ready? I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible. Our good works are not enough, and yet we have Christians all over the world that think, our churches are packed with Christians that think, I have to be good to earn God's favor to be in heaven. Well, I want to tell you, I don't know all of you personally, but I know enough of you and I know myself, we aren't that good. We're just not. It's by grace through faith that we are justified, that we are made right. Grace is God's gift to us. And if we could do it by works, who gets the glory from that? We do. If we could earn God's favor through our good works, we receive the glory for that. But no, it's the free gift of God, grace by faith, that we are made whole. Folks and brothers and sisters in Christ, that's good news. That's good news that needs to be shared. And finally, Scripture tells us that there is one hope of salvation, one hope of salvation. Now, I'm going to read, I think it's in your handout there. You can read it for yourself, follow along. But Galatians 1, now, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia that he started. Paul doesn't mess around when he's in these passages. Now, this is God's word. These are not Jeff's word. Paul says this, and they had the trouble in Galatia, the church there, was the Judaizers with people that basically these Jews that accepted Christ, they were coming in and going, hey, all you Gentiles, it's okay, all right, we'll let you in, but you've got to be circumcised. And Paul was going, no, you don't, because we're not bound to the law anymore. We have been saved through grace. And so that's the gospel that he was presenting to them. And yet they were confused about that and being thrown into confusion. So listen to Paul's response, Galatians 1:6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Okay? A different gospel. Which is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Almost sounds like that experience I had back in 2001. No matter what you tell us, it's okay. Are we listening? No matter what you tell us, it's okay. Some are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Holy moly. Paul is getting real, isn't he? He places so much emphasis on the true, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace through faith, that he's saying, if anybody teaches you anything else, even me, if anybody teaches you anything else, tell him to go away. Tell him you're not his friend anymore. No, Paul's saying, let him be eternally condemned. That's strong language, friends. The gospel, the true, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ, evidently Paul was serious about that. Evidently, God is serious about that. So what is this gospel of Christ that we should be cherishing so much? One of my favorite scriptures, Romans 5:7. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. It's, you know, how many of you have ever heard, and probably you may have said it, I've probably said it, so-and-so accepted Christ today, or last week, or whatever. Or I accepted Christ. You ever heard that or said that? We don't accept Christ. He accepts us. Hello. Is this on? We don't accept Christ. He accepts us in our sin, in our brokenness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us. That is the gospel. And I want to tell you that because of that hope that we have in Christ, to share that and to share that as truth is not arrogance, as I said before. It is love. If you love those around you who don't know Christ, it is not, even if they take it as arrogance, it's not arrogance. If you present the gospel in a loving way, it is not arrogance, it is love. The one true God, Father of all, made truce with mankind at the cost of his precious Son. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the message we have for a hurting world. If you would, bow your heads with me. Father, I'm so overwhelmed at your goodness. Why you would die for a wretch like me. What do you see in us, Lord, that's worth that price? we proclaim you, God, as the one God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Father, I pray that you'd give us opportunities, you'd give us courage, and you'd give us words when we are to share that. Well, we would not let the world convince us that's somehow arrogant or hateful to share the good news of Jesus. Let us understand the eternal things at stake. And Father, we thank you that you have taken sinners like us and you have saved us. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will come up. As we close today, this last song, the altar is open. I will be up front. If you want to come and talk to me about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you would like for me to pray for you, anything at all, I will be up front. Let's stand as we close.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King.
In Christ, go. one God, Father of all, one Lord. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Shout to the Lord on the earth.